There's a challenge that anyone who is given to teaching, whether it's preaching or leading a Bible study or anything, has when you're dealing with prayer. And at one point I thought I was the only one who felt this way, but I've asked around and it turns out that most people in that situation feel this way. So when it comes to prayer, you don't want to talk about it because whatever you say, the first thing that pops up is, well, that's not true for you. You don't do that. And what makes it odd is that those things could pop up with just about anything I say every Sunday because I'm not perfect any more than any of us are. But with prayer, it never seems to go away, and I'm not sure why. And I was thinking of skipping over our gospel passage for that very reason, and then I thought, well, that's a pretty lame reason to not preach about something that's important, that matters. So I'm going to ignore that little voice because it's wrong. And we're going to talk about the persistence of prayer, and in fact, how do we persist in prayer? And it's not going to be a seminar on the mechanics of praying, it's going to be more about prayer itself. Because we have a very interesting story that Jesus tells. And it's filled with interesting characters, as most of Jesus' stories are. And he asks people to imagine for a moment that you have a friend. We all have friends. This friend comes to you in the middle of the night and says, I need some food for someone who is visiting from out of town. You, of course, say, it's the middle of the night. No. What else are you going to say? Well, some people might not, but most of us are going to say. But they continue and say, no, this person from out of town, they need something to eat, they're hungry, I need some bread. And so eventually you'll get up and give this person whatever they need. Because they continue to ask. They persevere. Persevere is an interesting word. It's a word that has, for many of us, positive connotations. Perseverance is a good thing. You continue on. The problem is that perseverance from the outside often looks the same as stubbornness. Of digging in your heels. Of refusing to listen, even, in this context. But perseverance is a better way to think about it. Because when this person is going looking for food, they're not being stubborn. They're not refusing to listen to what they're told. They're just saying that, no, this really matters. And what makes it fascinating is that when Jesus finishes the story in the New International Version, it says he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. And it goes directly into, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Well, this has been a bit of a theme, a sub-theme, if you will, for us for the last year or so. It's popped up in James and in some other places, and we've come back and circled around it, and we've seen it alluded to frequently, that we don't have because we don't ask. And I've been challenging us, or at least putting before us, that we need to ask for what we want. We need to ask God for what it is that we want, and trust Him to figure out whether it is something we should have or not. And this passage tells us that we should persevere in asking. And we need to get at least one thing perfectly clear to begin with. This does not mean that if you ask in the right way, the right number of times, you will get whatever you want, no matter what, because it doesn't work that way. Perseverance does not just force God to give you whatever it is that you want. In the same way that Mila can persevere all day, asking every 10 minutes, which she is capable of doing, for an entire day to drive the car, the answer will always be no. She has never done this for a whole day, but I can imagine it. Perseverance does not guarantee that you will get what you want. But perseverance will demonstrate to God, who knows this already, how serious it is, and far more importantly, it'll demonstrate to you how seriously you want this, or how seriously you don't. The friend who came in the middle of the night looking for bread for the visitor persevered because it was important. We persevere in things that matter. If you ask for something that you're not really sure you should ask for at all, and the person that you're asking says no, you tend to just let it drop. But perseverance is a demonstration to us and to those around us that what we're praying for matters, that it's important. It's not, perseverance isn't on God's side. God is not convinced by a number of words. He's not convinced by a flurry of requests that are identical. God wants us to persevere for us. God wants us to pay attention to what it is that we're asking for, because if we're willing to ask for something more than once, it's probably important. And if we're not willing to ask for something more than once, then maybe it's not. We ask God for what we need, because that's the only place we can get it. We don't ask God for things that we don't need God to do, really. The people in my house who are shorter than me, which I guess is everybody, don't ask me to get things down from high shelves because they're lazy, because they just want me to do it. It's because they can't reach. We ask for what we need from the places that we need to get it. And by persevering in asking, we're demonstrating to ourselves and to the people around us that this is important, that this is something that we need. And what's interesting in this relationship, the relationship with God, and even with the relationship with those around us, persevering in asking, continuing to ask, can actually build the relationship. Because when we ask, sometimes we ask for what we think we need, and it turns out we need something else. And the asking and the interaction with the person helps make that clear. If Mila's asking to borrow the car because she knows she can't borrow the car, maybe there's something else going on. Maybe if I ask her some questions and we talk back and forth, realize that she wants something to demonstrate that she's just about to turn 7. She's going to turn 7 in a few weeks. She wants some new responsibility, some new privilege, because she successfully made her way through several levels of swimming this summer. She's doing quite well in the middle of the one she is. And the first thing she thinks of is, well, my sisters get to drive the car by themselves, or at least when I'm in the car, or when Heather's in the car with one of my daughters. I want to do that too. Well, maybe in the conversation we can figure out something else that works a little bit better, that still accomplishes what she needs. When we ask God for things, when we ask God for what we want, sometimes in the asking and the repeated asking, it clarifies what it is that we actually want. And when we ask God for millions of dollars over and over again, we realize that we don't really want millions of dollars. What we want is a sense of security. Jesus is very clear that when we ask, it will be given to us. So in the context of Scripture, this doesn't mean that no matter what we ask for will be given to us exactly as we ask. But we won't be given something that's dangerous or something we don't want either, because in the next paragraph, Jesus says, look, you who are evil, and he's not saying that we're fundamentally evil, he's just saying, you as fallen people, when your children come and say, I want something to eat, you don't give them a snake or a scorpion. When we ask Jesus for what we want, when we pray to God saying, I want this thing, he's not going to give us something horrible. He says, look, even you people can figure that out. Why do you think I would? Because sometimes we think that way ourselves. Nothing like working with college-age people to figure out that there are some people who are afraid to pray. They're afraid to ask God for things because he might give them something they hate. I'm not sure where that comes from. But it's there. I've seen it all in many times. And I'm sure many of you have seen similar things where people say, well, you know, I could ask God for this, but what if he gives me something I don't like? Well, why would he do that? Did your parents do that often? Maybe they did. And you've got a skewed view of that relationship. But even there, I know off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody who asked their parents for things like lunch and were given a stone. They were told not to eat. But sometimes when you ask for something, you end up with something you needed even more. What I wish Jesus would have said, when he says you ask for a fish and you give him a serpent, when your child who needs food asks for a chocolate bar, you give them a fish instead of a chocolate bar. Sometimes that's what they need. When we persist in asking, when we ask more than once, when we ask over and over again, we can ask with the clear understanding that we have been heard, we will be heard, and we will be answered. But we'll be answered with what we actually need, which will not be something we hate. It might be something we don't understand. It might be something that takes longer to arrive than we would like. But God doesn't give us scorpions when we've asked for something to eat. We persist in prayer because it's important for us to realize the difference between our casual desires and our needs. People who can tell the difference between those two are more successful as people. If you think that anything that crosses your mind is as important as your need for food and water and meaningful relationships and shelter, then you need to fix that, because that's not the case. When we ask God for what it is we need, and we ask again, it clarifies for us what we need. It helps us realize sometimes, not always, but sometimes, we actually already have that. We just have it in a way that we didn't see before. But as we persist in asking, we realize that this answer to what we need has already been met by this answer. And we just need to enter fully into that. If we're asking for millions of dollars because we need security and have forgotten the fact that we have meaningful and gainful employment, maybe we need to look at some of our choices around security rather than saying we need millions of dollars. That's just one example of many. That in the asking, we clarify what we need. And in the repeated asking, we fine-tune what it is we need. And when it works the way it should, what we realize is that, yes, we get to that point. This is what I need from God, because only God can do this for me. And I know He will answer. It might not be, even when we've gone through that clarification process, it might not be exactly what we ask for. But God will answer. And a good God will provide what it is that we actually need, even if we don't know what that is ourselves. Many of us, maybe even all of us, have experiences in our own past where we can think, I asked for a particular thing, and I never got it. But when I look back now, what I got instead, that I didn't maybe even recognize at the time as a gift from God, filled that need. And if we don't see it in our own lives, we can see it in the stories of those around us, church history, all through time, God has answered His people. Always. He hasn't always given them exactly what they want, but He's always answered His people. God, who is perfect, who is the direct antithesis of evil, has continued to work out the best purpose, His best purpose for this world, in ways that honor us as volitional beings in the midst of honoring Him as loving and just. Some of these things we've asked for that we don't see the answer, we honestly might not understand until we see God face to face in a way we don't in this earth. And that's okay. Frustrating, you're allowed to be frustrated by that. But it doesn't do violence to God's care and love for us to realize that some things are just too complex for us to understand now or are too long term. It's a terrible thing to realize that perhaps it will take a catastrophe for the prayers that you've been persistently offering up to be met. But we have to trust that God knows what He's doing. And there are times, and I'm sure this has popped into some of your heads, that at least now and then we are told to stop praying for things. It doesn't happen very often. It happened to Paul, who was praying for the removal of that thorn in his flesh, whatever that was, and God said, look, stop that. It's there for a reason. You don't have to understand it. That's just the way it is. So if God tells you to stop praying, then you should. I need to throw that out there. I don't think it's going to happen. When the people around you tell you to stop bothering God about something, you can usually just listen carefully to that and ignore it, really. Because over and over and over again in Scripture, we see God saying, ask me for what you want. You don't have wisdom because you never asked for it. And it's not that God doesn't know what we need, because He does. But the asking is part of the answer. By asking, we recognize our own limitations. By asking, we demonstrate that we are not fully independent people, which, of course, is impossible. None of us can make our own gasoline or build our own houses. But we demonstrate that there are lacks within us that can only be met by other people and can only be met sometimes by God. And that's good for us. We don't have because we don't ask. Ask. And ask again. It's okay to be persistent in prayer. It's okay to sort of okay to feel like you're being a bother. As long as you remember you're not being a bother. You need to ask and ask again. But we need to be aware of the fact that what we get might be what we need rather than exactly what we asked for. A good God does not give us scorpions and snakes. He gives us what we need. And often He does give us exactly what we need, but when we don't see it in the way that we're expecting it, we can never say it hasn't happened. Ask. Even if the last thing you ask for hasn't happened quite the way you expect it to yet, or maybe it hasn't happened at all, ask about the next thing. Ask and keep asking. Because part of the asking is the answer. And the asking is part of what builds our relationship and maintains our relationship and enriches our relationship with God. Amen.